Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity on this wonderful day of worship to dive into your word, to hear what the great light, your Son, Jesus Christ, has for us. And Father, would you simply, through your Holy Spirit, continue to work faith in our hearts and minds as we open your word today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You probably have already heard this before, but and you're probably aware of this, but your city's latitude and how far east or west you are in your time zone affects how much daylight you have on a particular day and when you receive that daylight. According to timeanddate.com, daylight for today, January 22nd, will be from 7:43 a.m. to 5:52 p.m., which is about 10 hours and 9 minutes of daylight. It's light, just not the sun is hidden right now, right? And today it also says that we are 91.49 million miles from the sun. Now, June 23rd of this year, we'll have the longest time of sunlight with 14 hours and 36 minutes of sunlight on June 23rd, and the sun will not set until 8:56 p.m. The shortest day of sunlight in 2023 will be actually Christmas Day, with the sun rising at 7:44 a.m. and setting at 5:28 p.m. for a total of 9 hours and 43 minutes of sunlight. As you're probably aware, light is really important for us as human beings. There is a real thing called SAD, seasonal affective disorder, that can affect people when they are not in sunlight. The darkness is difficult. There's an energy and a joy which increases as the days lengthen and the light of sun illuminates more and more of our waking moments. And getting the proper level of light at the right time of day can help our alertness, mood, productivity, sleep patterns, circadian rhythms, and all of those things. Experts tell us it's important to at least spend an hour a day in the outdoors, even if that's in a shaded or clouded conditions such as today, it's still better than artificial light. Numerous studies have shown all the screens in our lives, such as smart TVs and phones and iPads and the like, they emit blue light that has been shown to disrupt the natural melatonin in our brains. And this has been shown by experts to clearly impact your sleep, ability to think clearly, timing and release of other hormones in your body, and regulation of blood pressure, glucose levels, and cell regeneration. So as you can see, light is really important. And being around the wrong light can elevate the potential of illnesses and things like depression, diabetes, high blood pressure, and cancer. Of course, too much light coming at us too quickly can also be uncomfortable. I can't stand being on a two-lane road here in East Tennessee when all of a sudden Earl drives up in his big lifted F-250 and his lights are shining because of how high his truck is right in your face. And the road you're on has all of these curves, but now you can't see all the curves because you're blinded by their super bright lights, and you can't see where you're going. That's a struggle. That sudden burst of light is not always good. Or if somebody goes, look at my new flashlight, and they flick it and they put it in your eyes, oh, I'm blind, right? It's not good. And I have fond, albeit slightly sadistic, memories of flipping the lights on when my kids or a group of campers were soundly asleep in their dark and cozy beds, and I just turn on the light to wake them up. I do that almost daily with my kids because they will not get up with alarms. I have to turn the light on. But I would accompany this sudden burst of light with a loud phone ringtone like Eye of the Tiger or the Muppets' Menomina. Sometimes I would sing, "Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory," or "Sunshine on my shoulders." Makes me happy. Can't sing very well today, but you know what I mean. A coming of light can be welcomed or unwelcomed. A lot depends on what we're experiencing at the time. And today, in this season of Epiphany, it recognizes the light of Christ has come. We get glimpses of how that light is experienced in as both law and gospel in this text. When I flooded the sleeping kids with light, and I sang that silly chorus of "Rise and shine and give God the glory," no, that song, that was just the chorus, but that whole song, if you look at the verses, are about Noah and the flood. It says things like, the Lord said to Noah, there's going to be a floody, floody. Lord said to Noah, there's going to be a floody, floody. Get those children out of the muddy, muddy, right? But this song also is about the story of Noah, which is one of the most darkest narratives about the depths of human depravity and our need for repentance. The story of Noah is pretty sad when you hear how many people died in the flood, which we don't know how many. We just know everybody but Noah and his family. None of the groaning kids that I was attempting to wake up thought I was calling them to repent by blasting them with the bright light. They just wanted to sleep, but there is a connection. Ephesians 5, verses 11 through 16, it talks about the deeds done in darkness and how the light of Christ calls us to wake up, even as it exposes and makes visible what was hidden in the darkness. The light of God's word shines, exposes, and calls us to repentance. And this is just what we see here in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew quotes the words of Isaiah. And if you look at our Old Testament reading, it is the direct reading from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, that is mentioned in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew quotes these words of Isaiah to set up the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, because this is the beginning of him in his ministry getting started. And the very first word that Jesus says in his public ministry is repent. The exposing light of God's law calls us to repent. And like those sleeping kids, our natural inclination maybe to bury our head in the darkness, to put those blankets back on top of our head because we don't want to see the light that's exposing. And verse 16 tells us that we have seen a great light. And specifically, it says in verse 16, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And who is that great light? It's the Savior Jesus, who would enlighten those sitting in spiritual darkness. And John describes Jesus as the light, writing, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it." There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. And Jesus describes himself as the light. He says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life," in John 8. "I've come as the light in the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness." And so what takes place in this text? Well, we see that in verse 17, it says Jesus begins to preach. And really what this is saying is he began to continually preach. This was the beginning of his public ministry. And this message of repent that he shared is pretty surprising, because I think a lot of us would expect, or if you would take a survey of people and you say, what do you think the first words of Jesus were in his public ministry. What was his first message? And most of us would probably say, well, take hope. Do not be discouraged. Peace be with you. Repent would be probably pretty far down the list. But that is, in fact, his first message in his public ministry. Repent. And really, it's saying, be repenting, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Be repenting. But Jesus has more to say and do, which blinds us with the glory of God's law. And it reveals to us our dark failings. Because in the same breath, Jesus also announces that the kingdom of God is at hand. The dawn of a new day has begun. This is good news. Most of our churches in this, during this Christmas Eve, many churches sang about the dawn of a new day. We did it here on Christmas Eve when we had our candles and they were all lit and we were singing Silent Night. In Silent Night, there's two lines here in Silent Night that say this: radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. It's talking about that dawn of a new day, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. With the birth of Jesus, the gracious, redeeming love of God, it shines afresh. Psalm 130, it's probably in my top two of my favorite psalms. It gives us this really beautiful image of watchmen waiting for the morning. After a really long, dark night. And with the saints of old, we have been waiting for the Lord as one waits for a long, dark night to be vanquished by the first rays of the morning dawn, just as discussed in Psalm 130. See, Jesus himself shines the radiant beams of God's redeeming grace on you and me. While too much light can quickly be painful, just as we mentioned, but also as a direct call to repentance, Matthew's quote of Isaiah and the application to Jesus gives the assurance to us that Jesus' presence is not just an all-consuming fire, but instead it's a cleansing coal from the altar of God. God just doesn't expose, he shines. He doesn't just wound, he binds up. And this language of this quote from Isaiah in Matthew 4 is good news. The prophet Isaiah is simply describing the world as he sees it. He's being honest, like, this is what I see. People walking in darkness, unable to find their way, lacking the ability to help themselves. And Jesus enters into this picture, this world, this reality, as the light of the world. And he shines his light in Galilee, where he calls disciples and preaches and heals. And then he enters into our world, our mess, our fears. And he shines his light in the darkness of our mess, our world, our fears and hurts. See, without the light of Christ, we simply stay in the darkness. And without the light of Christ, you and I are dead. Dead spiritually. Dead. Sometimes we try to be the light without being fueled by the one true light. And that's really impossible to do. Because without the light of Christ dwelling inside of you, you're going to run out of juice. Your batteries only go so far. The gas, you know, has to be refilled. Without the light of Christ, we cannot be the light in this world. The line from When Peace Like a River gives voice to the goodness of God's coming light. And Lord, haste the day when our faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The days are getting brighter and brighter, more and more every day. And though it may feel to us like darkness is winning in this world, God's word reveals that the darkness is waning, not winning. The light of the world has come, and every single passing day, do you realize this, brings us closer to the great and glorious day. The great dawn is closer now than it ever has been. The literal lengthening of daylight as we continue to go through the season, as our days get longer and longer, is a reminder that God's gracious reign in Christ is hastening toward us. And though it may feel like our consciences and our world are stuck in Good Friday or Holy Saturday in darkness, you and I have to remember as followers of Christ that Sunday's coming. Easter Sunday is coming. And we wait for it as watchmen wait for the morning, confident that even now, even on us who dwell in the shadow of death on this earth, a new light has dawned. And that light of Christ has dawned for you and me. Amen.